This is Bob Whitaker. The name of this program is The Untrained Eye. When the United States first sent a satellite around the Earth and made pictures, that was in the 1960s, the ambassador to Britain thought it would be fun to have the head of the British Flat Earth Society come over and look at the photographs of this round Earth. The head of the British Round Earth Society showed up, looked at the pictures, was very grateful, and he said, "It is amazing how, to the untrained eye, the Earth looks round." Well, that is the way most of the people who believe in political correctness look at the world. The rest of us see the real world. They have learned not to see the round Earth. They have trained eyes, and they see exactly what they want to see. Hence the name of this program, The Untrained Eye. People are always talking about the purposes of the United States of America. They usually talk about the principles on which America is based, or they're talking about racial diversity, or making up some other theory. In American history, there is only one statement that has ever been adopted which states the purposes of the United States and the basis of the authority under which the government of the United States operates. This is the basis of America. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That is the only statement that has ever been adopted about what America is all about. It is the only statement that has ever been adopted which states the authority on which the United States rests. I have taken courses in constitutional law, graduate and undergraduate. I have taught courses in constitutional law. I have never heard a discussion of the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. I have never heard a discussion of the only purpose for which America exists, ourselves and our posterity. I have never heard a discussion of the authority on which the United States rests, which is the people of the United States. There was a reason for the adoption of those particular words, because the Constitution was a revolutionary document. The people who met in Philadelphia to write the Constitution were doing so in secret. The reason they gave for meeting was that they were going to negotiate a border dispute between Delaware and Maryland. This, of course, was not the reason they met. The reason they met in Philadelphia was to overthrow the government of the United States. Thomas Jefferson, who opposed any strong centralized government, was in Paris at the time, and when he heard about this meeting in Philadelphia, he said, "I smell a rat." There was already a government in place in the United States. It had been unanimously adopted by all the states. It was under the Articles of Confederation. The United States was a confederacy. The Articles of Confederation announced that they were a perpetual union. That is, no state could withdraw because all the states had ratified it. The Articles of Confederation also stated that the only way by which the Articles of Confederation, the perpetual union, could be changed was by a unanimous vote of all the 13 states. The Constitution said that
The Union, under the Constitution, would begin when 9 states adopted it. This meant that 9 states were going to secede from the Perpetual Union, called the Confederation, and they were going to constitute a nation of their own. This was not a matter of theory. In actual fact, Rhode Island refused to adopt the Constitution. It never sent delegates to the first Congress, and Rhode Island only agreed to join the Union after the United States threatened to erect tariff barriers against the foreign country called Rhode Island. Rhode Island said correctly that it was still united with the other states under the old Articles of Confederation. And if it had not been treated as a foreign country, Rhode Island would never have agreed to the Constitution. Rhode Island was solidly opposed to the Constitution. So let's get this point straight. When the 9th state adopted the Constitution of the United States, it went into effect in place of the Articles of Confederation, which had been adopted unanimously by all of the states, and which was, quote, a perpetual union, unquote. Everybody knew that the Constitution, which was proposed in Philadelphia in 1787, was a revolutionary document which overthrew the established government of the United States. That is why it begins by stating the authority on which it rests. We, the people of the United States of America. The people of the United States of America, according to the Constitution, had the right to establish their own government no matter what a previous document, the Perpetual Union, stated. This was revolutionary, and everybody knew it. The Constitution was not the establishment of the Union. The Union forces that fought in the Civil War fought for a government which was based on secession. From Rhode Island's point of view, the other 12 states, and North Carolina was not all that willing either, so we might say the other 11 states, had seceded from the Perpetual Union and were setting up a constitution on their own. So the Constitution is every bit as revolutionary a document as the Declaration of Independence. The differences between the two are enormous. First of all, the Declaration of Independence was written in wartime in a city that was about to be occupied. The Declaration of Independence was mostly, much as we revere it, nonsense. It blamed all of America's problems on the King of England. Now, every man that signed the Declaration had lived his entire life under British law, and he knew very well that the King couldn't do anything without Parliament. There had been a civil war in England about that between the King and the Parliament in the 1640s, and the Parliament won. The King could not do anything without Parliament. The reason that the Declaration of Independence kept citing the King of England for everything, many of which he, under the British Constitution, he couldn't possibly have done, was because the Friends of America were in the Parliament. America had a very strong block of support in the British Parliament. The reason that the preamble to the Declaration of Independence was written had nothing to do with Americans. The business of all men are created equal is something that Thomas Jefferson himself laughed at. It was a piece of French liberalism. America, at the time of the Declaration in 1776, was in a war. Very few people write perfectly objective statements of policy for public consumption in the middle of a war. The Declaration of Independence started off by appealing to the pro-American liberals in the French court. They wanted French support in the war in 1776. The rest of the Declaration of Independence is dedicated to blaming the king and not the parliament for everything. So factually speaking, the Declaration of Independence is a silly document. It was a war document. It was a propaganda document. And it was signed. It was not adopted by the states. The Constitution, on the other hand, was adopted in peacetime, and it stated the purposes of this new government, which was replacing the Articles of Confederation. It was not establishing a union. There was already a union in place. It was establishing a more perfect union. And those words were selected very carefully because, after all, there was a union in place. It was not a perfect union, so a new union was being created. This meant that, unlike what Lincoln said later, the union was not perfect, and it was not perpetual. We, the people of the United States of America, the people of the United States of America in 1789 were native born. I had thought all my life, and I'd been given to believe, that the earlier you go in American history, the more immigrants you have. That is not the case. The last big immigration to America before the Constitution was adopted ended about 1715. In fact, the people of the United States of America in 1789, when the Constitution talks about it, had the highest percentage, the white population of America at that time, had the highest percentage of native-born Americans of any generation before or since. That was a real surprise to me. The fact is that America had huge immigrations early on, from the first one in 1607 to Jamestown to the one in 1715. They had these vast, massive immigrations into Massachusetts, and of course first into Virginia. The Huguenots pouring out wave after wave, and then the massive immigration stopped. According to Adam Smith, the American population doubled every 20 to 25 years entirely by natural increase, that is, by huge families. The land was wide open, there was plenty of food, a healthy environment, and we came over here and multiplied like rabbits. In 1789, almost all Americans had been born in America. Their fathers had been born in America. Their grandfathers had been born in America. And their great-grandfathers had been born in America. So we, the people of the United States, in 1789, overwhelmingly native to the United States. And as if they wanted to nail that point down, they said, "and our posterity." They did not say, "and your posterity." They did not say, "the Siamese posterity." They did not say, "the Mexican posterity." The United States government is based entirely on the authority of Americans, and it is dedicated entirely to the posterity of Americans. Hence, the President of the United States must be born inside the United States. If one of the Founding Fathers were listening to this broadcast, he would wonder why I am beating this thing to death. He would say, "Well, of course, we were adopting a constitution for ourselves. That was why we met. We were adopting a constitution for 9 states. These little states, strung out along the east coast of the American continent, had no authority to set up a government for anybody else. They had no right to make declarations about all of humanity. They were trying to set up a new government." So why is this Whitaker character beating this point to death? It's pretty obvious. America had no right to set up a country dedicated to straightening everybody else out. It had no authority but over itself. So why is Bob beating this to death? Well, Bob is beating this to death because since that time, Since 1789, there has been a constant war against the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. We have been told that America is for foreigners. We are a nation of immigrants. We have been told that to be loyal to the United States means to be loyal to the principles of the United States, not to the people of the United States. I read an editorial in a local paper where someone was talking about true patriotism, and he said, "I am loyal to no particular people." That's nationalism. He said, to be an American means that you are loyal to the principles of America, not to a particular set of people. Now, I have just been beating the fact to death that the United States was set up specifically and only for and by the people of the United States and our posterity. There's no mention of immigration or immigrants or the rights of foreign nationals. Obviously, those would be addressed by the people of the United States of America for their own welfare. You see, when you have loyalty to other people, that is to say, when you want to tell other people how to live their lives, it is called imperialism. When this writer expressed the modern opinion that the United States is just a bundle of principles and not a particular people, he is saying that the United States is dedicated to imperialism. The United States is here to enforce universal principles, just as the Soviet Union existed to enforce the universal principles of communism. That is not what the United States Constitution says. That is not what the United States Constitution meant. The United States is only based on the authority of our own people, and the only right we have, according to the Constitution, is to dedicate the United States to the welfare of ourselves and our posterity. As I say, there has been a war against this idea almost from the word go. The people of the United States of America in 1789, who adopted the only statement of what America is about, did say that they, who were about 90% native-born American or more, were setting up a government for themselves and for their own benefit. There's a reason why one says that one's government exists for one's own benefit. Now, this is a very important point. Everybody who establishes a dictatorship, and every imperialist state, gives a justification for taking power over other people. That justification is always, it's for their own good. The Constitution was very careful to state that we are not taking over anybody else for their own good. That is imperialism. No matter how you dress it up, when you found a government based on abstract principles to be enforced on all mankind, you're being imperialistic. It doesn't matter how sweet the words you use are. You can call it civilization, which is what the colonial empires call their program. You can call it the equality of man, which is what the Soviet Union and Abraham Lincoln declared the United States was all about. You can call it religion. You can say that our purpose is to spread the true religion throughout the world, which is what the Inquisition was all about. All of these, from the point of view of the person making the statements, are very laudable goals. From the point of view of the person in a prison in the Inquisition, or in a colony, or in Hungary under the Soviet Empire, those wonderful principles change their meaning. And the Founding Fathers were smart enough to know the reality here, that when you base your government on universal principles, you are engaging in imperialism. Well, this never occurred to the Founding Fathers. They had enough trouble. They were trying to set up a government for 9 states, which the other 4 states were welcome to join. And that was quite enough for them at the time. The United States was not based on enforcing equality around the world, although Lincoln, in his Gettysburg Address, said that what the United States was all about was, 67 years ago, our fathers set upon this continent a new nation dedicated to the principle that all men are created equal. That is not what the Constitution was dedicated to. The Constitution had nothing to do with all men. John Quincy Adams made a classic statement in the as Secretary of State during the, I believe, the 1820s, that the United States is the friend of liberty everywhere, but the guardian only of its own liberty. Anything else, again, is imperialism. What I call liberty, or what the, for example, when the communists called their system economic democracy, they were just spreading democracy around the world. Who could be against that? Well, a lot of people were against that. And as soon as the Soviet Union began to weaken, everybody was against that. All of the countries where the Soviet Union had been spreading economic democracy pulled out of the empire. They had been oppressed in the name of doing them good. Universal principles are oppressive. They're always oppressive because the person who declares universal principles always forgets 3 important little words. In my opinion, when you declare a universal principle, what you're saying is that everybody in the world has to live according to principles which, in your opinion, are best. Those words are never added. People always say they want to give the world what, in their opinion, is democracy, which, in their opinion, is the best kind of government for them. You're not asking for their consent. You're telling them. So the United States, very rationally, was based on our own welfare and our own authority. The first state to secede from the Union, the perpetual Union, declared by the Articles of Confederation, was Delaware. It adopted the Constitution. The Constitution did not go into force until 9 states had adopted it. When it did go into effect, when 9 states had adopted it, it replaced the Articles of Confederation, which clearly stated that a perpetual union had been set up. The Constitution said there is no perpetual union. And the 9 states declared that they had seceded from the Articles of Confederation government. The Confederation, I suppose you'd call it. I've never actually seen it written that way. It would be called the Confederacy, although that would be heresy. So America is not what they call a propositional state. It is not an imperialist state. It does not have principles for all mankind. It is not set up for all mankind. It is not set up for those who are not born here. The reason that those who are not born here are allowed here is for the welfare of ourselves and our posterity. The very minute that immigrants become a burden or a problem, then we have no authority to allow them to come in. Also, anyone who reads the Constitution and reads the rights of immigrants into it is violating the preamble. Immigrants to the United States have whatever rights are convenient to those who are already here. No more. The Mexican Constitution is very specific about this. Under the Mexican Constitution, any immigrant whose presence is deemed inconvenient to Mexico has to leave immediately. There are no endless hearings. the person has no rights to stay in Mexico. He is there at the convenience of the Mexican government. That makes sense. If you're going to be a sovereign country, then you have to decide who will be there and who won't, and only the people of your country have the right to be in your country. That is what the United States Constitution states in the most important part of the Constitution, which is the preamble, which states what the whole thing is all about. When the courts declared that under that Constitution, with that preamble, aliens have rights here which had not been specified by Congress, then they're wrong. Ours is not an imperialist constitution. We only know one thing. We know what we need. We do not know what other people need. The minute you start saying you know what other people need or what is good for other people, you're being imperialistic. No, the United States Constitution is very specific about this. The only mention of aliens is exclusive. That is to say, it's up to the Congress if it's good for us to give aliens rights. That's what they said. Once again, it sounds like I'm beating the point to death, because it's pretty obvious that the people who set up the Constitution only had the authority to set it up for themselves. In fact, that was the authority they were fighting for. Lincoln in 1863 said, 87 years ago, by which he meant 84 years ago. He was saying this in 1863. He was talking about the Declaration of Independence. Lincoln said, 87 years ago, our fathers set upon this continent a new nation. If you had said that to the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, they might have lynched you, because that is exactly what they were not doing. It was a declaration of independence. It was not a constitution. What was done in 1776 was to cut the bonds between each of the 13 former colonies and the British Empire. It was the dissolution of the British Empire. Not one single person who was at Philadelphia in 1776 when the Declaration was written believed that they had founded a new nation. They had declared their independence, and every newly independent state, South Carolina, Rhode Island, New York, Virginia, Maryland, each of them was free to go its own way. That was what the Declaration of Independence said. There was no new nation founded in 1776. An empire was being dissolved.
I have been emphasizing that the United States is not just a set of abstract principles. The United States is we, the people of the United States. The United States is we, the people of the United States. Something else that America is not is a special kind of dirt. One of the biggest frauds ever perpetrated was calling America the land of opportunity. Land is soil. You can do a chemical analysis on the soil of the United States, and a chemical analysis of the soil of France, and a chemical analysis of the soil of the Ukraine, and you will not find any scientific evidence that American soil contains more opportunity than any other soil. So where do we get this idea that America is the land of opportunity? America is the people of opportunity. There is a practical side to this. We say that Mexican immigrants and Asian immigrants come to America for the same thing that our forefathers came to America for. That's not true. Our forefathers came to a land which was occupied by about 1 million Indians, and they created opportunities on that land. It was essentially empty. What Asians and Mexicans and other groups do when they come to America is to take advantage of the people of opportunity. They are leaving their own lands, dominated by their own cultures and by their own attitude, and they are coming here, America, because America contains a people of opportunity. Our culture, our outlook, our politics, our mentality has produced a prosperous country, a stable country, where one can earn a lot more money and enjoy a lot more freedom than they can in Asia, Mexico, or anywhere in the third world. These people are not coming to America for the same reasons that our ancestors came here. Our ancestors came here to make opportunities for themselves. These people are coming here because the countries they built don't work. Sure, they want to increase their income. A bank robber wants to increase his income. That doesn't give me any special respect for a bank robber. I understand his motivations, but it's simply not the same thing as a person who earned the money to put in the bank. America is not a land of opportunity. America is a people of opportunity. Obviously, everybody in the world wants to join that people, and everybody in the world wants to enjoy the prosperity and the freedom that this people has produced. But the people of the United States of America, the ones referred to in the Constitution, were the ones who created this opportunity. It has nothing to do with the soil. It is not a worldwide set of principles that should be imposed on everybody. This happens to be a place where we, the people, have done a marvelously good job, and if the whole world pours in here, it's going to be just like the whole world. This whole business of the land of opportunity is complete nonsense. We, the people of the United States, have created a special place, a rich place. We've created many things. They were not produced by some special quality of the soil. They were not produced by some book that laid out all the things America is. They're not abstract principles. It's much more complicated and difficult than that. America is a people. You can't just throw in another people and get the same results. If you do, you believe in magic. A lot of economists believe in magic. They believe that when a Mexican crosses the border of the United States, by some kind of magic, his income goes up. His income goes up because he's left a land which is dominated by Mexicans. The Asian does better here because he has left a land that has the culture, the outlook of Asia. He has entered a land which is constituted of the people of opportunity. The prevailing superstition is that you can take any bunch of people, throw them on to this magic land of opportunity, this magic soil here, let them follow some books that somebody wrote that give abstract principles, and somehow the whole thing will come out like the United States of America. It's not true. The United States is the people. We, the people of the United States of America, and our posterity. There's no magic here. There is a people here. The people of opportunity, the people of freedom. Until we learn that, our entire outlook will remain as insane as it is today.